I made actually, yeah, we call it a cheesecake, raw vegan cheesecake, but I'm starting to think that I just have to call it cashew cake because it can confuse people. They think it's cheese inside and it's not. It looks amazing. It tastes amazing. I hope you're going to like it.
Okay, I'm going to leave a lot for the staff because it feels heavy. It's weighty. What's in it?
It is nuts. So the base is made out of walnuts, dates, hazelnuts. Actually, all nuts that you can find at home, you just mix it and put it in. Yeah. It doesn't have to be just walnuts and almonds.
And it looks like your classic biscuit base, but it is just nuts.
Yeah, it's just nuts and dates. And then we have a layer of vanilla and cashews and lemon.
So is that just blended up? Because it looks creamy.
Yeah, it looks creamy because cashews are amazing. So you just soak them.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I soak them for a few hours. You can do it less, but I like to soak them for 4 hours. And then when you blend them, they got such a nice texture that, I don't know, I just love them. It's amazing. Yeah, what can you do?
And
you
then the blueberry on top. It's
I did also cashews, a little bit of vanilla and lemon, but I added a cup of blueberries and it gives nice color and a particular taste.
And frozen or?
It's frozen, but then you leave it out or if you keep it in the fridge. In summertime, it's a problem because it can melt if you don't eat it.
Okay.
But we all eat it pretty quickly. So
it is such a work of art. I don't even want to cut into it. And then it's got some balls on top.
Well, balls are just recently I saw my friend posted on her blog, raw Lamington balls. And I saw them. But I usually I'm a type of a person that doesn't follow recipes until the end. So I just invent something else or add. Or if I miss ingredients, I just do whatever I can. So actually, I like them like that. They are cashews and coconut, desiccated coconut, a little bit of maple syrup.
Oh, I'm cutting.
And raspberry. Yeah, I'm looking. What
you want to come around. Okay, come around here because I'm just going to cut the cake. And it is so, I can tell this is going to be magnificent. I want to move a ball.
Yeah. Okay, you can eat the ball.
You can eat the ball. Oh, well, I love it. And I can even eat the flowers. It's got.
Yes, there are these flowers.
Now, okay, you got to have a piece over there.
Yeah.
Because have you eaten a lot of this in your life?
Yes, but sometimes it happens if people order.
If people order cake, then I don't have a chance to try it. Then
okay,
just...
so this is the beauty of Cake of Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to pull it out. It's after it's... Okay. Oh, the strata in that. That's got to look good. I'm going to go halves and I'm going to send you back over that side with the other half.
Oh, look.
Is that good?
There.
Oh, inside? Okay, I've just cut.
It's a surprise.
It's total surprise. Inside the little ball is a raspberry.
Yes.
Okay, this is you're with the Canberra Magic Kitchen. I'm just going to try this first. So let's just, because this is the trouble with Cake of Sunday. We have to eat and talk. Mm. Oh, that's a fresh raspberry.
It is, yeah.
It's not even a frozen
one. No, it's not frozen. So it's usually people don't know what's inside. And then there's that effect of surprise, which I like.
That is magic.
Yes, that is magic.
Well done. That is just delicious. Yeah. And now I'm just going to try the cheesecake, which is so beautifully stratified.
Yeah. And I'm going to eat the ball.
Okay.
Oh. Like it?
Mm. Delicious. That's just cashew nut.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Lemon. Lemon and vanilla gives particular taste.
Mm.
And blueberries, of course.
Mm. That is magnificent. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Now people listen to us munching.
I always say it's not the nicest radio, but it's a very popular segment. We will share this with you out there in Radio Land that you can make it yourself. That is a magnificent cake. Tell us how the Canberra Magic Kitchen started. What kicked it all off?
Well, How long do we have? How much time do we have?
5 minutes.
Yes. So it's a long story, but to make it short, we arrived to Australia 3 years ago. We started working other jobs. When you start from fresh,
What was your background?
I was a travel agent. We had our own small company, touristic company, and I was living in Dubrovnik in Croatia. And that was my basic thing. And I was a tour guide for years. My husband, he's an agronomist, Sasha, and, we just decided to come to Australia, I wouldn't say for adventure and to change life and to see what Australia has to offer to us. But when you come here, you have to start, totally from the beginning. So we basically arrived with $2,000 in our pockets and nothing. No friends, no family, with kids.
Brave.
So I started working as a waitress. He was not a builder, but worker, laborer. And then at one point we just decided, like, if we continue like this, what are we going to do? So what can we do now to make our own businesses? So what do we know? And he said, I know how to do gardening. Of course, this is his love. And I said, I don't know what to do now. Like, I don't know, I can cook. And then we said, all right, let's see what can we do with that. So I started to make some soups, stews, because I didn't want to waste food. And soups and stews you can freeze. So then you don't have any wastage. And basically that's how it started. Lots of ideas, which we just entered in. And
the community
people,
has
yes,
loved
community
it.
Accepted this very well, yes.
But by accepting, you actually reached out to them.
Yes,
tell us about
I already
the crate
yeah.
brunch.
Yes, I already told to some people about that, but we missed when you come here, when you are new, you have to give yourself to the world and then people will accept you. So what you give is what you receive as well. We wanted to bring community a little bit together, neighbors and our friends as well. And when we said, why don't we start Crepe Morning at our place? So we'll see how it will go. So it developed so well that yesterday we had, I think, more than 150 people at our place. We had an amazing entertainer, Mr. Tim, with so many kids were there. We loved it. It was really, really beautiful.
Just from your neighborhood and
friends, there was a family choir that performed there. I don't know, it's something I would say magical when you come to someone's front yard. And then we set up like a small pop-up restaurant. There's a lot of preparation for that. We have to take it all out, you know, prepare a lot before, but
and
it's worth, yeah.
150 people just
I think so. I don't
in
know.
Your house, in we your have back, it.
In
your front
in
yard,
our front yard. Yes. Yeah.
Where do you live?
Hackett. I love Hackett. Yes.
It's remarkable that you can do that just for the love of it. And do people pay for something like this?
Yeah. We sell food and people pay for food.
That's it. That's all though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's plenty.
Yeah, and what a lovely thing to be part of. My guest is Antonia Basic. She is one half of the Canberra Magic Kitchen. We were just hearing before about how she started this little community kitchen, really. Antonia, hello again. Welcome back after the news. You said you've created this little community kitchen, with yesterday 150 people coming to your front yard and backyard and all through your house. How do you cope with that many people? Sometimes strangers, no doubt.
I just work.
Do you? Are you in the kitchen?
Yes. When we have events, then we have a gazebo. So it's like a market stall. And then it's like you came to some small mini market at house.
Do you shut the street off?
No, we ask people because we are mindful to neighbors. So we like to ask all of the people on the event and on the flyers not to park in our street. It happens that there are a few cars here and there, but usually no. Mm. Yeah. And we like to ask our neighbors and to say to them before that we are going to have that. And a lot of them, they also participate in another project that we have, which is called Canberra Honesty Box, where we sell veggies on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have nice relations with our neighbors, and so far I always say, like, if they mind something, they can let us know and we'll do everything to, you know.
The Canberra Honesty Box, it's such an Australian institution, I think, the roadside stall and the Honesty Box.
Yeah, we like that name, actually.
How did it go? How does it?
It goes beautiful. So we have veggies that we are growing in our garden, and then there are several other gardens that join the project. It's also part of the transition street, which is part of the sea change. And then we are selling actually the veggies to the people who don't have their own chemical-free veggies, let's say.
Yeah. What a wonderful thing. What sort of things are you selling? So it's like a little tiny market on a Saturday morning.
It is, yeah. Just on Saturday. Now it's winter time, so everything grows slowly, but we still have abundant, a lot of kale, cabbage, silver beet, parsley, some other herbs, and a lot of teas, yeah.
A lot of
tea?
Tea?
Like dry, yeah.
Oh, you dry
some people
the herbs.
Are dry, yeah. So that's good. And then that's part of the, this is what I like about the community as well, because you can share the seeds, you can share the ideas, the things around that. And I'm using actually veggies in my own cooking. So this is the best part for me.
Now, the cooking component, you said you were a travel agent in Dubrovnik.
Yes.
Moved out here 3 years ago with your family.
Yes.
And just tried to see what you could make a living from.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't a cook. You liked cooking, obviously.
No. I never thought. If someone asked me that 3 years ago, is that really crazy? Me, cook? No, not a chance. I never thought about that. So I see it as something that just came to me. And I accepted it. And I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? Let's just start slowly and see what's happening. And what I found when I started cooking, it's totally different. It gives you freedom, creativity. It's different than when you were cooking for family, because my kids, they don't want this green, they don't want this red, not take out of this, take out, the, you know, it's kids, just give me rice, give me pasta, so they're just full of complaints with food. And then you have to cook to adapt to family needs. And then when I started cooking for others, I just found freedom, because I can do whatever I want. And then if people like it, great. If they don't like it, they don't have to eat it.
Yes.
So for me, it was a creative moment.
That's nice.
It was just something liberating. And also, as both me and Sasha are healers and I'm doing Reiki, I wanted to introduce something else into the meals. And I started putting intention into every meal. So it's mostly like, let's clean all of the energies of preparation, growing and everything. So it can be a minute for everyone. So just think about when you cook, just send some positive thoughts to the food, and I believe it makes a difference.
I've got a friend who is a transcendental meditator, and he puts a lot of intention into the thought, into the food as well. And I find that really interesting. He sits before his meal, before he eats it, for at least 5 minutes. And I'm going, it's getting cold.
Yes.
And
you don't have to spend that much time. Yeah. But
isn't that a lovely
it's
thing?
It's like an intention in life, you know.
Yeah.
When you set up intention, it works. So,
where do you do all your cooking? Because you now cater for events.
So there are a lot of things that happen. I just wanted to cook stews and soups at the beginning. But then people started to ask me to do something else, and then cakes. And then I made a cake and it was great. So it just went on and on. So I have to have several licenses to do and to cover all that I do. So we cook at Food Cooperative. That's in New Acton.
There's a commercial kitchen
there.
Then
I have home business licenses to cook other meals at home. And then we have market stalls. So sometimes when there are events or markets or some festivals, we do that as well. Also weddings. And we did a lot of things, less than a year. It just happened. Everything happened really quickly. And I find it magical, because every time, like a wedding, I said, yes, we'll do your wedding. And then I said, how are we going to do it? You know, you don't have the equipment and things. So it's a lot of investment.
Intention can take you only
so
far.
It's creativity. Like, okay, let's just do something. And we did it. So it just goes on.
Where do you see this going? Because the community thing I'm fascinated by.
Yes.
What you've created is this community. And I refer to you as sort of the ball bearings. You are like the moving parts of a community. And a community takes lots of people. It takes people to come and participate, as well as the people to hold it and host it and come up with the idea. What do you see that growing into, that community idea?
I see, I don't know, I have...
Do you have visions?
Yes, it's a vision of doing a lot of, introducing a lot of healthy, not only food, but it's like some kind of, I don't know if that's the right phrase, like holistic approach to life, let's say, and lots of sustainability and improvement in your life. So the best thing is that you do it yourself and then others can join you.
Yeah, and be part
so
of that.
So this is the plan, yes. Not to do only, so we organized some screenings, for documentaries on health. It's not that I want to change people to go vegans. I just want to offer them a solution that also offers plant-based diet, that we can go out and, I don't know, do some physical activity, that we can go and, I don't know, do some...
Be social,
be
too.
Social.
I think that's a really
that's
nice
That's great.
Thing.
I love it. I know so many people here. Sometimes I say, I want to meet regularly with people, but there are so many people that I met.
But just even just someone coming out to an event like that, just wandering down their street, being welcomed,
yes,
being able to be part of it, because it is hard. I think it's a lot of loneliness, even when you live next door to everyone.
Do you know what I like as well? Well, I don't know about our daughters. They said there's always someone in our house. But it's someone knocks, leaves lemons, oranges. You know, it's just people. And this is what I want, to have my doors open for everyone. I remember also a lady, she got locked in a car. Her key was locked in a car and it was evening and she came to our house and said, "You're so welcome to come until you solve your things." You know, so this is for me what the community and neighborhood should be. That you're open and that you have, you know, free... that you're free to go and to knock on your neighbor's door and ask whatever you need, and the same.
Would that have happened in Dubrovnik?
Yes. Mm. I'm very happy that I had that neighborhood actually in my life, and I felt more like they were my relatives than my neighbors. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like you brought it out here with you since coming.
Maybe.
Tell me about the social experiment before I let you go that you did, where you would leave the frozen meals out in a fridge or freezer on your front deck and get people to pay what they thought.
Yeah, that was different. When we started the business, we didn't put the price on the meals, but we were selling or delivering meals, and then we said that it was pay as you feel. So that was really interesting. It lasted probably for some 5-6 months, I would say. But it became very hard for us because we started selling food at Dixon Health Store and other places and for weddings. And then you have to set up price, and then to have price at one place and not on the other one, it's different.
Yeah. From the people's perspective.
It was very, very hard for people. They were for the first two times, and then they would get used to it, and then they would pay and they would be happy.
Did they err on generosity or miserly?
I can't say either. It was just balanced. Some people would pay.
I can't even say
less, because it is maybe what they can afford on that day. And then sometimes people wouldn't pay the same price every time. Sometimes they would pay for the price $12, sometimes $8. So maybe
that's interesting.
So for me that was good, because if 1 week you don't have enough and you want a meal, you can have it.
Yeah.
And then the next week if you have more, you're going to pay more. So at the end it balances.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fascinating project. And welcome. Yeah. Thank you for bringing this community to us.
Thank you for inviting us.
I think you've done a fabulous job just creating it.
Thank you.
And you have, Antonia Basic is one half of the Canberra Magic Kitchen. I think the other half is probably gardening.
No, he's probably in Mount Majura with our youngest daughter. Yes.
Nothing wrong with that on a beautiful day like today. Yeah. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks so much.